Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Chloe Show, innovative, inspiring, empowering, relevant, and entertaining. A lifestyle enhancement radio show and podcast for women who want to be more authentic and live a more meaningful, abundant, and magnanimous life. Got a situation? Call into our live show on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern for real solution-oriented suggestions, tips, and coaching to help you reach your personal and professional goals. Here's your host, executive and life coach, full-time author, model, and mentor, Chloe Taylor Brown.
Well, well then, hello there on a Thursday evening. I know that we're usually coming in to you live on a Wednesday afternoon, but something came up today and I want to do something just a little different. I am your host, Chloe Taylor Brown, and you are here with me today on The Chloe Show, and I have a real special show lined up for you. Today's topic is intellectual stimulation, setting ourselves up for a better life. And intellectually speaking, I'm going to be connecting with Carmel George, an evolution strategist who uses her innate abilities and personal experience as a musician, teacher, coach, skill and systems developer, biotechnology innovator, scientist, and team leader to support her clients in creating what they want based on a clear foundation of self-knowledge, self-understanding, and the cultivation of courage to freely be themselves. Hello, Carmel.
Hi, Chloe. Great to talk to you.
Oh, wow. It's good to hear from you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Carmel is from Australia. And I met her, almost 10 years ago in Dallas, Texas. We were both on a coaching course together, and we hit it off, and we stayed in touch sparingly, but more. We're going to do better over the years.
Yes.
So, Carmel, we reconnected some months ago, and you've been doing a lot of excursions. As a matter of fact, I see you sailing. And where were you?
Oh, so when that photo was taken, I was on a little ship and we were sailing into Montenegro, into Kotor. And it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. And it's really kind of cool when, you know, you open the curtains from your ship in the morning and there's a castle right outside your window. So that was one of the things that the women in my family got really excited about that first morning. There's a castle outside our window. and you know, it's kind of cool because as a little girl, you know, who didn't want to be a princess having a castle? So we all got to kind of live that for a few moments that first morning.
Well, you know what? Just listening to you and sailing with your family, the women in your family, and your bio is very impressive, and it seems very, it's eclectic, but knowing you, it fits all into the woman I know as Carmel George. So tell us, how did you come to be this evolution strategist who's using your abilities as a teacher, a musician, a coach, a biotechnologist? How do you do all these things?
I suppose, you know, my first recollection of being challenged was spending time with my uncle, and he recognized really early that I like to ask a lot of questions. I would annoy everybody with the question, why? And he knew and noticed that I would pick up on things really quickly. I could solve problems really easily. So I spent probably between 4 years old and 16 spending most weekends with him. And we would do things where it would really stretch my you know, my mental abilities, my analyzing abilities, my problem solving stuff. We'd play games. And I wasn't ever considered to be a child. If I wanted to fit in, I just had to go along with the show. So I was spending time with people who were 14, 15 years older than me on a regular basis. And then in terms of the music came in for 2 years from about, again, 4 years old. My mum tells me that I constantly was on her case about, you know, I want to learn how to play the piano. I want to learn how to play the piano. And, you know, at first she thought maybe it was just going to be a passing thing. Because I'm persistent, and that's something that's continued all through my life, I am very persistent, decided I want to do something. She decided after 2 years this is probably something that I was definitely going to do and stick with. So she enrolled me into getting music lessons. So that's how all of that started. And then as time went on, you know, I did the music and I loved it. I didn't really love being placed in front of an audience to play, but I did it. And it definitely stretched me and challenged me, brought up a lot of fear. And then over time with that natural instinct for problem solving, I really loved science. I really loved the fact that it answered a lot of questions for me. It answered my whys. It also showed me a way of finding out my answers too. And so instead of going on to do music as a career when I finished school, I actually went into like a medical-based science degree, which was to set me up for working in a diagnostic laboratory. That was a little boring though, but I went on to do honours and actually do a research career. And you know, the best time of my life was when I was working in biotechnology, developing diagnostic tests, and also just trying to see if, when I was working with this new technologies team, can we create something that's never been done before? We've got it on a piece of paper, and it was my job to see if I could actually make it happen in real life. And that was awesome.
All the things that you just described, the music and the being in the laboratory with biotechnology and being inquisitive. And so let's just fast forward today to you being an evolution strategist. What is an evolution strategist, and how have you incorporated all of your innate abilities and your personal experiences to become that?
Right. Well, what I found out when I worked in a laboratory was I really wasn't that interested in the science. I became more interested in students. And what I noticed was that what my uncle did for me in honing in on what I was really great at, I was also able to do for other people. And so to help these students become more confident within themselves and to really grow as a scientist or into whatever they wanted to be past that point of being a student, I use that ability to get really present, get to know the person, notice what their natural or their innate ability was, and then get them to focus on, let's see how we can grow that and make it stronger. Because if you can get confidence in that, it gives you confidence to try other things, because it creates like a stable base or a stable foundation for you to move off and into life with.
Well, it sounds like what you were doing was stimulating them intellectually, inspiring them, getting them to not ignore their inquisitive inclinations and to encourage that. So was that, would you call that, and I don't know, I'm just kind of going along with this, would that be an innovative scientist in you, an inquisitive scientist?
I think that's the inquisitive part. And it's also just having a love of people and wanting to, and noticing what makes them unique as well. And it's also, you know, it also draws in all the experience that I had as a musician. Because what I don't know if most people realize, but music is really based on, there's a lot of maths in music and there's a lot of detail. And it's about patterns and hearing patterns, recognizing patterns, and, you know, as well as the harmonies, you know, the frequencies and the energy. So everything that I learned in music, I could apply in science. And then I am actually qualified as a music teacher too. So I was able to take all of those skills into, well, you know, how can I help somebody really sort of hone into what they're good at, confidence, give them the idea that, you know, if you really put your mind to it, you can do it. But you don't have to limit it to just that. And you don't have to limit the skills that you learn just in science or just in music to only stay in that one area. You know, you can think laterally and you can actually apply it into other areas of life too, because there are specific skills that you learn that are going to be applicable everywhere.
I love that. Now, intellectual stimulation. You know what? That was so fun when I was doing a little bit of research about intellectual mm-hmm. stimulation. I found a new word that I had not seen before, and I guess it is relatively new also in the dictionary, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Maybe you've seen it. It's mm-hmm. spelled S-A-P-I-O. S-E-X-U-A-L. So is that sapiosexual or sapiosexual? Mm-hmm. And it's a person who is sexually attracted to intelligence in others. Now, we are not talking about anything sexual when it comes to intellectual stimulation. However, I was really curious when I saw that in the same section, and it reminds me of having a conversation yesterday with the person, and the conversation was about business, and we talked about a few things, and then after the conversation was over, the person said, "Oh, yay, intellectual stimulation or something like that," and it was so funny. And you know what? After I was off the phone, it made me realize how many people are desperate for intellectual stimulation.
Right.
What Absolutely. Do you think is happening? Why are we so starved for, from your perspective, why are we so starved for intellectual stimulation and intellectual foreplay?
I think these days, you know, we have so much social media and we have so much you know, electronic interfaces that, you know, you don't really have like a direct one-on-one contact with someone, first of all. And, you know, it's also more like an art to being able to conversation. And to, you know, and to also find someone that's interested in the same topic that you are, so you can get that intellectual stimulation. You can get those juices working and really start opening up an area and just converse about different viewpoints, but be respectful of listening to what the other person has to say and how they look at it as well, too.
And also being interested in what they have to say and letting those words penetrate you and you absorbing it and being present with that person and allowing that person to be present with you to really engage a person. I feel that even when we are together, we're having conversations, but most of the time we're rushing people along so they can complete what they're saying so we can jump in and say what we have to say. So it's not allowed. We're not even feeling that person.
Right. Well, and, you know, one of the things that I notice is that there seems to be a huge scarcity of people being heard, acknowledged and understood. And, you know, somebody when you have, you know, two people together, you know, somebody has to actually stop and listen so the other person can speak, and then maybe switch over and reciprocate the listening. And yeah, so sometimes too, though, if you don't feel like you have a safe space to express yourself, you know, it's hard to get that intellectual stimulation started in the first place.
It really is. And I know that coaching is great, therapy is great, counseling is great, group projects would be great. I think that maybe we should, you know, just practice more communication and listening. I think those would be the first two things, is the skill of.
We just lost you, Chloe. Staticky.
Okay. Carmel, am I there now? Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
So we lost you when you said about wanting to, you know, talk about groups, you know, counseling, that sort of thing.
Yes, I'm saying that these types of things are good. However, it's great that we could each practice our communication and also the nonverbal skill of listening and allowing a person to really get what they're saying and to be understood. What you said was heard, acknowledged, and understood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the other thing that's probably really, really important too is sometimes you have to be wiser about who you're going to choose to have the conversation with, because not everybody wants to hear what you want to talk about. So sometimes it might be wise to check in first, you know, are you interested in this? And, you know, it'll at least save you from feeling like you've been rejected, okay, if you launch into it and you get shut down.
Well, so we were working on mantras just this week and last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Tell me and tell the listeners how you feel about mantras, words, people, us, individuals, knowing who we are more to be able to be better engaged in communicating.
My first thought is when I was going through the mantra process to pick out the words that describe me or that reflect me, I really had to, I actually ended up with this 2 pages that just looked like words all over the place. I had to really think about what are the words that people use to describe me. How do I describe myself? I even went and looked at other profiles and things that I've done in the past to see, well, is that still relevant now? Because I've grown and changed so much since doing some of those things. So that was a really interesting exercise. It was interesting to know where my flinch factor was, where it's like, you know, can I really say that I'm excellent? Can I really say that I'm genuine? Can I live with that? Does that sit well with me? But in then taking those words and narrowing down the list and then taking those words and actually going through the dictionary to look at what does it mean? What is the Latin derivation of it? And just pausing while I read it to see, you know, how does that sit with me? You know, does that make me feel like, wow, yeah, that feels nice, that warms my heart, that makes me feel bigger? Or is it like, oh, not quite it. Okay, maybe I need to look at some synonyms, some other words that are similar, but it doesn't feel quite like it. So that was a really, really expansive, empowering process for me to do. And in being able to really nail down on those 10 words to reflect me, it definitely got rid of my doubt when you asked me about being on this show. You'd asked me a week earlier before we actually got the mantra in place and articulated and specific, and I sort of had some doubt and some flinch away from it. And then you very wisely asked me like 2 hours after doing the mantra, and we knew that it definitely indicated to me that it was like, yeah, this is it, this feels right. I had no hesitation in saying yes. So I guess the short of it is that when it feels right, and it totally, totally indicates every single word, it just gives you a really strong foundation and a really stable place to go, yes, I can actually get into action using these things as a support and as a, I don't know, it's my grounding.
As my foundation. Exactly. So now I have forgotten that I'd asked you about the show a week or so ago. I really have forgotten that.
Uh-huh.
But from your perspective, you were saying no, or you were hesitant, where you never said yes the first time. But after you finished your mantra, your foundation was solid enough that you didn't hesitate. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
So can you talk
It was really about, you know, I've got the words. Now I need to show up and actually put them into action.
So the cool thing about that. Yes. The cool thing about that for me is that I always say that with the coaching and the pep and the mantra, it gets you into action right now, not tomorrow or over there, back there, but right here, right now. So from that perspective, you're saying to me that when you completed your mantra, you were able to get into action right now, right here.
Yes, and it basically cleared out all the interference, if you want to call it that. You know, it's like when you have a radio station, if people even listen to those things anymore, but you know, in the old days where you'd have to try and tune it in to the precise frequency to get a clear signal. The mantra clears up that signal, gets rid of all the interference. So you know exactly, yes, this fits with me, or no, it doesn't.
Excellent. Now I'd like for you to, if you can, tell me, if not, then that's fine, that you creating the mantra with your words and that statement, does that help you to have more intellectual stimulation in your conversations? Indirectly or directly?
I think both. And I think it also helps me to know when and what to communicate and to whom as well. Because I know that not everybody's going to have the same words that resonate with me and with them. So, but if I can recognize something about them, then, you know, I can at least be present enough with the person to be able to have an intellectually stimulating conversation that's in their area of interest. And then we see where we go from there and just let it flow.
That's awesome. Now, for me, with the mantra in regards to setting myself for a better life, what it does for me, what my mantra does for me, and what I would hope that it would, that I know that it does for most of the people that I help to create one, it helps to guide us to our higher levels. And more specifically, it helps to guide us to accomplish our goals and objectives of what we've set for now or the next 2 years. It gives us a blueprint. It's like the North Star that we're going toward. It propels us, pushes us, and pulls us to that. We can commit it to memory and get those words in our subconscious mind and let them lead us. That's kind of what I how I feel about the mantra. When I'm feeling down, I can say my mantra in my spirit. I can say it under my breath or out loud, and I just feel so much bigger. And and if I can, if I'm really on a roll, I am really into it. I've clean slated. I've gotten the synonyms. I know the root. I know what that thing is doing. It's in me and it's working. I'm feeling good about it.
And watch out, Chloe is coming along to inspire everybody. Yeah, absolutely. And it for me, it's helped me find my voice to actually be able to give me some courage to actually express a lot of the things that I know or I want to share, and to, you know, just to put it out there. And if it stimulates a conversation, you know, if it makes someone stop and think, gives someone a moment where they look at something from a different point of view, then that's great, because that's also, you know, what coaching is about, what personal development is about. It's about can you look at life from a different point of view, because, you know, the current one that you're looking at it with will only take you so far. And if you want to grow, if you want your context to expand, if you want more opportunities to come towards you, then you have to be willing to look at something in a different way.
Absolutely. You know, when I was doing this research, when you're doing these shows and you're wanting to get more information, it really does open up the space for to stimulate you even more. There are some key behaviors of, if you're talking about a big corporation or a business, a small business also, and you're talking about transformational leaders, what they do, and the reason why transformational leaders are so important today is because they're inspirational motivators. They're idealized influencers. They're individualized consideration. That means when they're working with a person, they want to consider that individual and not the whole team. Even though they're working with the team, they know that each team player, that each team is only as effective as each team player. And so they urge their followers to question assumptions and explore new methods and ideas. I love leaders that ask you, what do you think about what they created or what they're doing or what they want? And they really listen. When I was a model and I was working in Milan, one of my favorite designers, and a lot of people don't know this designer, many people who are really into fashion know Gianfranco Ferré, very feminine designer. Well, when I would do fittings doing the big prêt-à-porter collections, that some of the models who lived in Italy would do the fittings for other models as well, because we mostly had the same body type. So when I do the fittings and I'd walk, he would always ask me, what did I think? And that just meant the world to me. He may not have cared, but to me, when he'd ask me what did I think and he want to see how I would flow in and I give my opinion, it really made me want to be a better model or a better fitting model or a better model on the runway. And I really appreciate him valuing what I thought. So we were actually stimulating each other intellectually, ideas. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate that. And also, transformational leaders are actively seeking out new ideas and creative solutions from their followers. And they don't criticize their followers and the people who are working with them and for them. They look at things differently. And even if they end up rejecting it, they love that people are bold enough to express themselves authentically. And I know that that's really big for you, for people to be genuine. Talk a little bit more about that.
Right. Yeah, I guess, you know, I heard someone say in a webinar I was listening to, you know, your mess becomes your message. And that really rings true for me because I, growing up, I felt like I had to be A, B, C, and D, and I didn't want to be any of those things. And I also didn't know how to voice it, but I knew that I probably just needed to go along with the ride until I could create a space for myself where I could really find out who I was. And it's at that point, or for me, at that point where I started to try and sort out, well, what is me or who am I and what's the stuff that everybody else wanted me to be? And that's created a place where I didn't feel self-conscious anymore. You know, I could be just like, you know, this is who I am, and well, you have to take me or leave me as I am, basically. And yes, you know, I can get really excited about, you know, creating a system, which most people think is boring. Yes, I can be a pain in the neck in asking why, I don't understand, you know, I need to know more. But again, it's like, you know, getting that intellectual stimulation of talking to other people, you know, finding out, you know, I spent a lot of time talking to people who I thought were really genuine and really authentic, and just to find out, well, what have you done in your life? What do you focus on? You know, what's important to you? And most of them just simply don't give a bleep about what anybody else thinks about them. They are doing their thing because they love to do it and they're passionate about it. And they find other people who are like that as well too. And they have those intellectually stimulating conversations about whatever it is that they're passionate about. And that drives them and encourages them and gives them more to work with and more energy to invest in what they love.
Well, you know what? As you were speaking, I was getting this image in my head with maybe 8, 9, 10 individuals who are highly skilled at educing and drawing out the highest level of intellect from other people and stimulating them in these conversations. And then I started thinking about the new word, the sapiosexual, everybody just being highly turned on by intellect and intelligence. Can you imagine what people could create?
Absolutely. You know, nerd would be the new trendy thing to be, right? I mean, I used to joke with my friend, when I was still in research, and you know, we would proudly announce to everyone, "Yep, we are squares." And I don't know if you use that term in the US, but a square is a lesser nerdier version, I guess.
Okay, I thought we were squares.
And
okay.
We are proud. Yeah. And we are proud of it, you know, because we are. And it's, you know, and we really owned it. And the other thing that we really owned was that, you know, we might have been one of the older people in the group, but we're also the shortest. And, you know, we knew how to have fun in a very serious environment. And it kind of irritated a lot of people that, you know, you could have fun with being a nerd, and
exactly.
You can have fun with intellectual stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be serious. It's, you know, you make it how you want it to be. And my friend and I, you know, if we were going to spend, you know, some days we spent 14 hours working on an experiment. I mean, if you're not having fun by the end of it, it makes it a very long, arduous day. And we did. We made it fun and we got through. And, we had a blast.
Well, what I don't understand is why so many people think that intellectual stimulation is boring, or you're talking about boring topics. It could be about anything from kites to designing to STEM, math, science, and research, and music, mm-hmm. and baking. It could be about any topic. I think it's the way that you, the words that you use, your body language, including your facial expressions, your knowledge about the subject, how passionate you are about it, asking questions, answering questions, all those things. It's not about any one particular topic. It's mm-hmm. just about getting high on intelligent conversations.
Right. And you know, innovation and creativity comes from being able to have those conversations, or if you don't have someone to talk to, can you read stuff? Can you write it down? Can you at least, you know, actually use your mind, use that ability to think, to compare, to contrast, to wonder, what if, what about this? It's really, you're really trying to stretch it, mold it, like working a piece of clay.
Exactly. Well, this has been really fun. What would you like for everyone to know about you, or tell us what you're working on, what's coming up for you for 2018?
Well, it starts with some travel. I'm sure my grandma is going to tell me very soon that she's forgotten what I look like. That's her way of telling me that you need to come and see me in person. So a trip home to Australia is on the cards, because I don't live in Australia anymore. And then for me, it's for me, what I am really, really interested in at the moment is, I'm trying to put it into words, but for me, it's about, okay, can we kind of unlock or loosen up the things that make us flinch, make us stop from reaching forward, and just understanding new things about that. And I suppose recently, you know, my big word at the moment is courage. And that word derives from basically core, or meaning the heart. And, you know, I would like to see and hear and read where we're becoming a world that sort of is more driven from the heart rather than the ego. And that's sort of something that I'm curious to watch. I'm curious to see how the world unfolds in the next few months as well, and just working with people to help them have some courage to basically show up and say, hey, this is me, this is who I am, and you know, you have to take me as I am.
And that is really, really big. I think that when we learn to accept people as they are, which I am learning too, in my personal life, to allow beingness. Is that how you mm-hmm. say it? Allow
grant.
Beingness?
To yes, grant, beingness. Grant beingness? Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that if we could be aware of that, that may be your big project for 2018, is to teach us all how to grant beingness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This has been a great show, Carmel. I thank you so much for sharing your time with all of us and talking about intellectual stimulation. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Chloe Show. I am Chloe Taylor Brown, and we want to connect with you next time. So we'll see you next time. Goodbye for now.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.
Is a passion. I built this body to relax in. Don't try to bring me down, I'ma get the laughs laughing. Don't need to talk, I
what you're asking.